Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante along with Andrew P. Shea. Andy, happy 4th of July weekend to you.
Same to you, Jimmy. Happy birthday to America, to everybody out there. Enjoy your weekend, be safe, and congratulations to the good old US of A. By the way, I saw a t-shirt in celebration. The British colonies had a 13 colony lead and blew it. That was hilarious. So I just thought I'd throw in a fun joke.
Very good. You are celebrating by being away and hitting the little ball around. Andy, I've mentioned on the show before, you are my shining example of what I want to be as a golfer. How are you hitting them?
Thank you, Jimmy. I'm actually playing really well down here. I mean, yeah, I'm making way more pars than bogeys or others, and throwing a couple birdies here and there. I'm hovering around 80, 81 down here. And in Florida, I'm in Florida down here on the Gulf Coast. And as much water and as tricky as these golf courses are that we play, not being used to them all the time, obviously, I'm very, very happy with how I'm playing golf. But man, it's hot as Hades, sir. It is hot down here right now. I love it, but it's really hot.
You may be shooting in the low 80s, but the temperature is a lot more than that.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Andy, let's move forward with our topic here today. Here's what I wanted to get into with you. Out of conference games, there's a lot of big games this season, and it's fascinating to me because I think the narrative going into this season with the 12-team playoff was – these out-of-conference games don't hold the same weight as they may have previously. If you lost an out-of-conference game, you may have eliminated yourself from the 14 playoff. And I think that was the case, whereas this year, say you're a Georgia, you could lose an out-of-conference game and still very comfortably make a 12-team playoff. But where I think we missed the mark with that take is that now these out-of-conference games take on additional meaning, additional weight, because you might be carrying the banner for your entire conference. Because when playoff time comes now with 12 teams, there's going to be a lot of comparison between teams in Conference A and Conference B with the same number of losses. And one of these out-of-conference games where you may not even be involved in could determine your fate.
Jimmy, these out-of-conference games are going to matter more than ever. I'm sorry. I think, if you look at a schedule, think about it, Jimmy, conference-wise, it's one. One is a berth. One is getting in, right? So you take all of those away. If you're not your conference champion, what do you have to stand on? Your resume, right? That's what we've talked about. Difference for the College Football Playoff Committee is this year. They're going to have to evaluate entire resumes, right, to determine those at-large bids. Because it's one. One team out of the ACC is the same as one team out of the SEC, Jimmy, right? That's who's getting in. That's who's guaranteed a spot. They not only have to seed them, they have to determine where the rest comes from. So your resume, top to bottom, is going to matter even more. And a hammer at a conference game against another hammer opponent is going to simply just carry more weight. There's more important for it. I do like your angle that you brought up about, for some conferences, it could be a banner carrier. It could set the table for your conference. Is the ACC just a one-trick pony and they're going to get their one team, or do they have more depth than that? These types of games will help them determine that. So I think there's a lot more to these non-conference games than in any point in the college football playoff era because of the expansion. And these games matter a lot, Jimmy. They used to matter, we thought, for a different reason, but let's be honest, since COVID, they haven't really mattered when it came down to selection for the college football playoff committee. They really haven't. So I think when you're looking at, you know, your who's 12, who's 11, who's 10, who's 9, who's 8, in terms of getting in, not who's the eighth best team, in terms of who's going to get in those, you know, who's going to get those final determined at-large spots, these games are going to matter more than I think most people think. And I think they're really, really going to carry a lot of weight.
I agree with you, Andy. You and I talked about this a little bit yesterday in between your golf outings. You know, you did take the time, which I appreciate. But I think no game exemplifies it more than it's Clemson versus Georgia. Now, it's supposed to be a neutral site. It's in Atlanta, which is in Georgia. So I suspect Georgia will have the fan following that will make it feel like a home game. And the fact is, Georgia is almost a 2-touchdown favorite in this right. game. But, Andy, I take this one as real obviously Clemson is carrying the entire weight of their conference, of the ACC. Because if they get schooled in this game, you know, I think it almost guarantees the ACC will only get one playoff team.
Yeah, I agree with you. I hate saying that. But somehow, are they carrying the weight of the conference, you know, initially to set the table? Yeah, I think they are. I mean, inside the ACC, they'll tell you that the conference has at least two or three potential college football playoff teams, right? But externally, the reality is the ACC is not the Big Ten or the SEC. They are not a power conference. So they are careening exactly toward being a one conference champion is your only ticket to the show, right? They have to prove depth inside the conference in order to be seen as a team that deserves more than their one ticket for their conference champion. I don't think the ACC is going to be capable of proving it has enough depth inside the conference. You know what I mean? The conference itself, through course, proves itself to be. So I don't think they have to win this game, Clemson. I really don't. I think they cannot get trucked in this game. And I mean, okay, so they lose by 8 or 9 points, but they were down 24 early third quarter, right? The game's over. They got boat raced. They can change the paradigm and the course, though, for the ACC in 2024 if they can upset Georgia. Massive upset, first of all. Will be a torpedo in Georgia's side, but, gosh, no matter what happens to Georgia, don't they seem to always find their way back to the top somehow? Whatever that takes, they're one of those kind of programs right now. But in terms of the ACC, Clemson can't get schooled and boat raced in this game. They just can't, because then the ACC will be exactly what it is, which is a one-trick pony. Whoever wins the conference is going to get in.
Right. You look at the ACC, you think Clemson and Florida State are the two standard bearers for the conference.
Correct.
If Georgia just goes out and schools Clemson here, and Clemson goes on to win the ACC, You look at the ACC now and just say, my goodness, they're lucky to get one team in, okay? They're fortunate that the rules say their conference champion has to get in. That is how important it is on the ACC side. Now, on the flip side, if somehow, Andy, some way, Clemson finds a way to win this game, it entirely changes the narrative about the ACC.
Completely, yeah. It won't. If Clemson wins, it only helps one. It doesn't even hurt the SEC if Georgia loses this football game. It won't, Jimmy. That's how big the differences are and the gaps between the two. For Clemson to win this game, it changes the paradigm in 2024 for the entire conference. If Georgia loses to Clemson and gets upset, not much is going to change for the SEC. Let's just be honest.
Well, here's the one example, and I know you and I talked about this, and you were right. You told me I'm like cherry picking, creating a lot of different circumstances.
You do. You tend to cherry pick.
But I want to bring this up as an example of how things could work. If Georgia loses this game, and somewhere down the line they lose another game, that's possible. I mean, they're playing Alabama in the regular season, so that could be a second loss for Georgia. Okay. We could see that happening. And could Clemson somewhere down the line lose two games, lose to Florida State, lose one other? Let's say neither Georgia nor Clemson is a conference champion, and they each have two losses. But Clemson has beaten Georgia. I know, but you could expand that. Maybe it's Florida State with two losses, but they were very competitive against Clemson. Maybe they even beat Clemson with a game, but now it's Florida State with two losses versus a two-loss Georgia. Hey, Florida State was competitive or beat Clemson. Georgia lost to them. It changes how you frame the discussion now when you discuss a two-loss ACC team and a two-loss SEC team.
There's only one key that opens the box, Jimmy, to all of your sort of turnkey and you know, cherry pick scenarios. And I don't disagree that they do exist. None of that exists if Clemson does not beat Georgia. Even right. If Clemson is competitive in this game, I still don't think it unlocks the key. I really don't. Clemson has to win this game. They can't just be competitive to be the difference maker that they need to be for the ACC.
What it does is, I think if they're competitive in the game, which I think could happen, Andy, if I had to bet, I would probably bet Georgia, you know, boat racing them. But if Clemson's at least competitive, it at least maintains a little bit of the narrative that the ACC can compete, maybe get a second team in. But if they get shellacked, I think the whole discussion of it, ACC should just be happy they get their conference champion in, Andy, because they're not going to get anything more in if Clemson is embarrassing here.
I don't disagree, because I don't feel that the ACC has the bones to build a resume inside their conference.
That is exactly it, Andy. All right. That is it for quarter one. That was just one of the out-of-conference games. We've got a whole lot more to go, including your Nittany Lions. So stay tuned for that.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app. StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. TrustStateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. We are talking college football. We're talking some of these huge out-of-conference games, Andy, that are coming up. It's fun to talk about actual football games here, Andy. I really love this. By the way, just to reiterate, we were talking that Clemson-Georgia game. I may have alluded to it, but Georgia is actually a 13.5-point favorite in that game. I think that's the biggest of the out-of-conference games. There's a couple more also pretty big, but I'm going to hit our Nittany Lions, Andy, yep, because I think in some ways it almost has a similar narrative as the Clemson-Georgia game. What we have here is Penn State, a 10.5-point favorite, on the road at West Virginia. I'm a little bit surprised that the spread is that large. I thought it might be less than that, and maybe in single digits. West Virginia, Penn State took it to them last year at Penn State in the opener. West Virginia kind of rebounded from that. I believe they ended up being a 9-win team.
Correct.
They bring back their quarterback, a good number of their players. It's a home game for them.
Yep.
It will have national attention. Plus, it's the first game. And I always say that the underdog team has not had a chance yet to become aware that maybe they're not good enough to compete with their opponent. They're still believing. They're still undefeated, right, going into it. But is this a similar situation to Clemson where West Virginia is carrying the banner for the Big 12?
Maybe not quite at the same level, I think. I don't feel this is a banner game for the Big 12. I think the Big 12 they have their own banner with who they lost and the way their conference shapes up this year. I think this is a two-sided coin game, right? This one for me. I think Penn State, to start with Penn State, Jimmy, I think they might need a Q factor this win. If they overperform just a little bit in 2024, in other words, I'm saying I think the Nittany Lions have a pretty favorable schedule the way it's shaken out. They do not play Michigan or Oregon, right? And if they have another Big Ten loss outside of Ohio State, because yes, they have to play Ohio State, and you know, you just say, okay, that's a loss because it's Ohio State and they're playing Penn State. And this game will give them some more meat on the bone. If they win this game, if they have another loss in the Big Ten outside of Ohio State. But on the flip side of the coin for West Virginia, this is the game, right? This is the game on their schedule that changes the trajectory and potential of their entire season. They're a tweener in the Big 12, generally speaking, when you look at who's being picked, they're a tweener. I think they're one of the upper echelon teams. I think they have good football bones, and I think everybody else is a tweener. But I also think they have to do something to change their trajectory and help themselves. This is their game. Right out of the chute, this is it. They lose this game, they fall into complete tweener status and have to roll through the Big 12 and win to get in. I really think this sets the table for them to change everything for their season and a little bit for their program. They lose this game. I don't care how they lose it. They don't have to get boat raced. It could be a close game. They have to win. They can't be they can't have fought the good fought and get anywhere. That won't help them.
I see what you're saying. But if they do win, Andy, that individually for the team itself, for West Virginia, it says to them, it boosts their confidence. It sets their aspirations are different now. They've got to think if they win this game, they could compete to win the Big 12. But what it also does, even if they beat Penn State, you got to think then that this is a pretty good West Virginia team that could win, say, 9 or 10 games even.
Yep.
All of a sudden now, they are a team that's 10-2 and says, hey, we got this notch on our belt against a, you know, not team. Right. Maybe Penn State finishes, if they lose this game, Penn State could finish 9-3, perhaps even still 10-2 for a West Virginia team. But also, Andy, for a Big 12 team to get this kind of win, it helps the rest of the conference.
Yeah. Oh, so, yeah. A little bit, but I think I can't see the Big 12 getting two teams. That would just be a shocker.
I can't see it either, Andy. And I don't think West Virginia is going to win this game. But Andy, they've got to think that they could win it. And similar to, I don't feel like Clemson is going to be able to beat Georgia. But if they do, you know, that's the thing. But if they do, it's similar here for West Virginia. Now, let's move on to a couple other games that might be considered big. And what's interesting, Andy, is there are a couple big Big Ten versus Southeast Conference games. Now, the most likely scenario in the playoff picture is Big 12 gets one team, ACC gets one team,
right.
Group of Five gets one team. Guess what? That leaves nine playoff spots for the Southeast Conference and the Big Ten. Obviously, the conference winners get in. So that still leaves, you know, seven spots between these two conferences. Yes, and potentially okay. Notre Dame, who we'll get to. Let's start with LSU versus USC. These are two teams, neither one's the favorite to win their conference, nor the be even the runner-up. But these are both teams who have to feel like they are playoff contenders.
Yeah, they both are. And this is – I love this game. I mean, I'm just like, wow, I really love this game. I think both teams are in wild card status, right? Both are replacing their quarterbacks, right? That's, you know, I think LSU has
Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks.
Right, Heisman Trophy winning high NFL draft pick quarterbacks, right? So, but they're very similar that way. I don't think USC has good football bones. LSU's going to test you because I think LSU does have better football bones than USC does. USC's defense was atrocious last year. Atrocious overall. Can USC take a step into a tweener role in a Big Ten? Can they be a player for a conference playoff spot? They lose this game to LSU, they're in trouble. I don't think it hurts LSU as much losing this game. This is just my opinion. Being inside the SEC, I think it's an upset, a little bit of an upset if they do lose it. But I love this game because I think it's the game of the ones that we're looking at that are non-conference, that the two teams are so similar and they both can flip the script in a similar way by winning this game. I love this one. I think this is good. This is my favorite non-conference game on the schedule because for no other reason, I have no idea what's going to happen because neither team knows what's going to go on in the quarterback position. And you're going to find out a lot quickly.
Andy, I'm with you. I love this game. If you're a college football fan, you're there for this one. You got to love this one. The fact is also they're playing this in Las Vegas, and I don't know why, but that just strikes me as a fun place for them to be playing this game. If you're going to do a road trip, this would not be a bad road trip, huh, to go to Vegas to watch this game. But here's the other thing, Andy, and I feel like the repercussions for the loser.
Yeah.
I almost feel like the loser is eliminated from the playoffs. Because this is not like a Georgia or an Ohio State
right.
who could lose an out-of-conference game and then just streak through their conference undefeated. I see LSU and USC as teams who will lose probably two games in their conference. Two losses in either one of these conferences you think could or even should get you into the playoffs. But a third loss? Don't think so, Andy. And I think this will prove to be a third loss for either one of these teams.
The last thing I'll say about this game, in some respects, Brian Kelly has performed at least at, and in my opinion, he's overperformed as a coach at LSU in some respects. I think Lincoln Riley's underperformed as a coach at USC, right? Like, if you look at their programs, who's performed better since they made the switch, right? It's Brian Kelly. Guess what, Lincoln Riley? You got an uphill climb. You have to change the paradigm of that climb. You have to beat a team like LSU. They lose this game. I think it's a little bit hotter kitchen, even more so than it might be right now for Lincoln Riley. And this is year three. I expect a bump for USC overall better because year three is the coaching bones year. But they got to beat LSU, dude. They can't lose this game.
Andy, I'm glad you brought up the coaches because I think this is a huge game for both coaches also, not just the teams. And I agree with you that Brian Kelly has performed better at LSU than Lincoln Riley at USC. However, at LSU, they expect so much there. The standard, the bar is set so high that if Kelly were to lose this game, and like I said, he would really have to outperform in conference.
Correct.
I think they're headed for at least a three-loss season if they lose this game. Like you said, third year at LSU, I don't think their fan base is going to tolerate a three-loss team.
New quarterback, but yeah, I agree, Jimmy. There's so many subplots this game. That's why we love it. That's why we love this one.
And you're right too, Andy. That's fascinating to me. Is obviously there's so much at stake for the teams. There's also so much at stake for the coaches. And finally, you make the quarterbacks. They're both turning the page at quarterback. They both had incredible quarterbacks previously. That typically means a step back when you've got coaches who are in that, like you said, that proverbial third year where you expect them to be reaching their peak.
Yeah, no. And the quarterbacks, which one takes the first big step forward? That'll be the team that wins this game, right? That's the winner. And at the same time, it doesn't matter. It does matter how you perform. That's part of it, but you didn't win. If you're the losing quarterback in this game, you just had your first big loss handed to you, right, as a starting quarterback.
The narrative is so different between who wins and loses this game for the team, the coach, and the quarterback.
Yeah,
it's polar opposites. This is huge game for both programs. They're in similar position as we started with this conversation, Andy. It'll be an interesting one. All right, coming up, Ask Andy with your questions. Stay tuned.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app. StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, statecollege.com. Trust statecollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three, which means it's time we use your questions and we ask Andy. If you want to send Andy a question, download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy button, and away you go. All right, let's start with our buddy Tim in Port Matilda. He typically sends in the long questions. This one's it's kind of long, but not as bad as he's done in the past. Let's go. He says, all right, we got to have a discussion about what Penn State's program can be. I've got blue and white glasses on, so I'll readily admit my bias. However, there seems to be this narrative out there that Penn State is not a national championship type program. I couldn't disagree more. Penn State borders Ohio, DMV, New York, New Jersey. They've proven the ability also to recruit nationally. If Penn State can break through, and there's several definitions for several different people for that, but if that happens, they could be a floodgate open to big-time recruits. If Penn State can grab 80% of the top prospects in their region while still keeping its legs nationally, that's a top five class easy. The infrastructure is there for success. What do you say, Andy?
Andy says, Tim, hand your Penn State glasses back to Jimmy. So I will preface my answer by saying this. 2023, Tim. All the pieces were in place, right? Look at all the talent they sent to the next level. Look at what they had and infrastructure built in. They had two games. They won the 10 games during the regular season. They absolutely should have won. They had one of the best defenses, if not arguably the most complete defense in the country, right? And what did they do when it really mattered? In the games that really mattered, they not only weren't competitive. They didn't show up. They got schooled. They weren't even competitive games to a degree. So that's the gap. It's not that they can win 9 or 10 games in a season. That's not the measuring stick. The measuring stick will be, can they win a next level game somehow? And a bowl game, even a New Year's Six bowl game as a 9 or 10 win team going into that game, that's not the next level. The 12-team college football playoff is a first opportunity for Penn State to move to the next level. But they, you know, then you get into the conversation of what it takes to get to the next level. Well, the first thing they got to do is get into the 12-team college football playoff this year. I don't think they have to win a game this year, but that's highly debatable. That one is up for debate. I think they have to get in and they have to prove themselves as relative. How that looks like, yeah, that would be winning. Win one game. That is a next step. They have to take a next step of some kind, and they've never created an opportunity for themselves to take that next step. They've never gotten in the 14 playoff. Right. That's it.
Let me defend Tim's perspective just a little bit. I think, first of all, his talk in dominating your region is important. And there are ways with Penn State to do that. The 22 recruiting class, you mentioned 23, they had the opportunity, they had the studs. But a lot of that was based on that 22 recruiting class, where they kept the regional high four-star, five-star guys. They brought in Nick Singleton, Drew Aller, Denai Dennis Sutton, 3 5-star guys, yep, along with Abdul Carter, KJ Winston, guys like that. Now, that recruiting class finished like 5th or 6th in the country. The problem is most years they don't recruit that well. And this year, their 2025 recruiting class, a lot of people are excited about what happened in June, but here's the warning, Andy. They didn't do what Tim said here. They didn't dominate their region.
Correct.
There's a very high four-star quarterback right down the road in Pennsylvania, and he's going to Missouri. All right. Yep. You look at the very top of the state of Pennsylvania, that class, the best players in Pennsylvania, I think the top out of the top seven, zero have committed to Penn State. I believe it's five of the seven have committed elsewhere.
Elsewhere, yep.
And the other two are uncommitted and not predicted necessarily to go Penn State's way. They've got to own their home region as a starting point, Andy. I still don't think they'll ever recruit the same way Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State are. But they got to get closer to that than they are right now if they want to compete. So let's move on. Sue and Howard has an interesting question here, Andy. She said, you recently discussed the potential for earning revenue by renaming Beaver Stadium. I've been wondering, what if the Paterno family started a collective to create the Joe Paterno Field at Beaver Stadium? I've heard that many fans refuse to donate to Penn State collectives until Penn State returns the statue of Joe. It seems those people might be willing to contribute to this collective. Would Penn State take that money and support the Paterno Field at Beaver Stadium? And let me just modify part of her question. She says the Paterno family starts it. Certainly you would want their approval, but it would probably be other people who would initiate this type of thing. So what do you think? How's that for an idea?
Oh, man. I think Penn State as a university will just continue to walk away from the ending of that pass. That's, you know, in terms of athletically, and particularly the football program. I personally, me, I don't have a problem with it. I kind of like the idea because I have a little bit different value proposition opinion, but I just don't see the greater university as a whole embracing that. I might be wrong, Jimmy, but you tell me you got a little better inside me than that, but I just don't see Penn State embracing that.
I don't see them embracing it either, Andy.
Right. And I just don't see them doing it. I couldn't see that. That's
unfortunately, correct. Because I think the idea is a solid one saying, hey, wait a minute. Maybe we can solve a couple problems here. The other issue is, Sue, what you're talking about with the collective and raising money is different than the university selling the naming rights.
Right.
They go into two different pots. And I think the university and doing naming rights, they want the money to go there, not necessarily through the collective. But an interesting idea. It does make you wonder, though, if there would be some other way to make that happen and honoring, knowing that the money would go to honor Joe and Sue Paterno. All right, let's go to Jason in Orwigsburg, who says, why does everyone talk about the whiteout game with vague generalities? We know the TV contract structure. NBC has the night game. NBC, Penn State, and the Big Ten need to lock this down. For the record, I'm on team add extra excitement to a potential letdown game. Ohio State doesn't need any more juice.
Amen. I'm with you, Jason. Ohio State doesn't need any more juice when it plays Penn State. I think a tweener game, bringing, you know, look at potentially one of the teams from the Pac-12. Look at it differently. Use it to your advantage. You know, the Ohio State game is a known quantity. Spread the wealth. Use it to your advantage. Get yourself, a lockdown W. Because the whiteout helps Penn State lock down even a 60-40 game W. It really does. And spread the wealth around. I'm with you, Jason.
I'm with Jason and you also on this, Andy. I believe Jason's right. Ohio State already has enough juice. They're forced to play that game at noon, you know what? The smartest guy in the Penn State administration who is whoever came up with the helmet stripe idea. Do that for this game. Yeah. That is a whiteout, Andy, and everything but name, okay? 95, 98% of the stadium is in white with one little blue stripe going down the 50-yard line. That's it. His other point that he makes, you've got NBC, you've got Penn State, you got the Big Ten as a league. They the same way, and I know people are tired of hearing me say this, but Andy, the Big Ten, Michigan, Ohio State, they're all in cahoots to make sure they get exactly what they want. Ohio State, Michigan, noon last week of the season. There's no reason why you shouldn't have the network, NBC, Penn State, the league saying, let's give them a big enough game early enough in the season that makes sense. Even if it's not Ohio State, USC is a home game next season. There you go. Perfect opportunity. Play it in October, make sure, and the conference can make sure. Just like ESPN always put the biggest games on at night, but Michigan, Ohio State forced it to be a noon game. I don't care about Fox being involved. They should be able to work it out that either Fox plays it at night or NBC's given the game. And they're able to do it, like I said, for Michigan, Ohio State. No excuse here, Andy. That's a little touch of salty Jim there, isn't it?
I was going to say, congratulations, Jason. You allowed Jimmy to beat his drum.
All right, let's hit Steve in Chicago, who says, hey, Andy, do you think the interior defensive line is being overlooked this offseason? I believe based on their experience, they could be a big part of the defensive success this year. Your thoughts? Keep up the great show.
Steve in Chicago, preach it, brother. All those sitting in the pews say amen. I think the four defensive interior defensive linemen and the versatility they bring to the table for Penn State, their experience, their season, they're a little more savvy. They continue to get a little bit better. Are any one of them elite? No. Are the four of them collectively together borderline elite going into the 2024 season? I think so. Do they have the potential to be an elite interior defensive line? Abso-freaking-lutely, Steve. I 100% agree with you. I've said it before. I think everything that is a lot of what will happen on the outside with those two monsters coming off the edges, a lot of that table's going to be set by the hogs in the middle that are doing a lot of good football, dirty work on the inside. They do it well. They do it better than most. And they have four of them, Jimmy. Four of them.
And you know what, Andy? I think that Steve is correct that they're often overlooked, but that's because you've got guys by the name of Abdul Carter and Denai Dennis Sutton on the outside,
yep,
who are the big names. That's the position that typically gets you the attraction. But Steve, you are 100% right. That's it for Ask Andy. Stick around. More to go in quarter number four.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app. StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others, local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, statecollege.com. Trust statecollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Andy. I'm Jim. Andy, we had a wonderful Ask Andy segment. Great questions. A lot of fun. Now let's get back to our conversation about some of these out-of-conference games that we both agree are going to have a lot of meaning, probably even more meaning this year than they did in the past. The other part to this, Andy, is enjoy it now because these games are going to go away. All right.
Yes.
We've already seen this. Ole Miss and USC were scheduled to have a home and home in 25 and 26.
Nope.
They canceled them.
Nope.
And I get it. I understand.
I get it. Yep.
Don't like it, but I understand it because they're the new Southeast Conference, the new Big Ten is going to be challenging enough without putting yourself in position to lose another game out of conference. So let's hit a couple more of these games that we haven't hit yet, Andy. Another Big Ten Southeast Conference game is Texas at Michigan. Texas is a 3.5-point favorite. I think the look at this is Texas is on the up, playoff team, contender this year for the playoffs. Michigan, after winning a national championship, I don't know if it's fair to say total rebuild, but it's certainly in rebuild mode.
Man.
They're replacing a lot, coaches, head coach, quarterback. A lot of players are being have worked their way to the NFL, but this is a huge game. Texas has to win this game to confirm that they truly are a national contender. Michigan, they have this game at home. It's a chance to prove to that they're not in a rebuild mode, that they're still legit, Andy.
So I'm going to start with Texas in this one, Jimmy. Texas at Michigan, right? The game is at Michigan. But I'm going to start with Texas. And you kind of highlighted where I'm going to go. Is Texas, can they continue to be a national contender? I have an even tougher question, I think, to ask for them, Jimmy. I think they proved in a 14 college football playoff system as a member of the Big 12 last year, that they're going in a direction under Sarkisian that they've got some national contender chops. My question is, are they an SEC contender? I think that's a tougher question to answer than are you a quote unquote national contender? It's not a 14 playoff. It's 12 team. Guess what? You're not in the Big 12. You're in the SEC. Are you an SEC contender? Now, I will say this about Texas. Year one in the SEC, it's just going to be harder than being in the Big 12. But I do think they got the sort of the silver spoon end of the two spoons for the teams coming from the Big 12 in terms of the schedule makers from the SEC. They got the better end of the – they got the better spoon. Oklahoma got the dirty spoon, right?
They got slaughtered, Andy.
They got slaughtered. Texas got the better end of the spoon. Maybe they deserved it a little bit more. You know, oh, well, that's just the way the schedule worked out. Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm not buying that one. But winning, can they win 10 games in the SEC, right? Part of that will be, can they beat Michigan? Michigan, man. I know Michigan's one of the top 10 teams in the country, and they deserve it. But, man, I just see so many elements of the other side of a cliff of falling off. Head coach, like you mentioned, 80% of your assistant coaching staff. So much graduation and transfer to the NFL. What are your new football bones going to look like? This is an expanded Big Ten, and it's still a difficult Big Ten. And now you have to play Texas, right? You have to play Texas, who's a much more known quantity than you are. I think for every five questions Michigan has to answer as a program, Texas might have one to answer, right? So you see that there's a, I see such a disparity between the two right now. I don't know how Michigan answers any of those questions other than winning. Right. I don't know how they do it other than winning, because then they have to face the Big Ten schedule. So I think Michigan's in a very weird spot in terms of how it played out with them winning the national championship, Harbaugh going to the NFL, losing the players they lost. Oh, and welcome to the expanded Big Ten and a 12-team college football playoff. No single program is going through more change and turmoil overall in this year of big change than the Michigan Wolverines.
Good call on that, Andy. That's really the case. And also very good call. I've been hitting on this, beating this drum for a while. Texas definitely got the favorable schedule in the Southeast Conference. It will still be an adjustment. Oklahoma, meanwhile, their schedule is brutal. And it's funny, I saw a quote from a national commentator who said Oklahoma fans don't be disappointed if your team goes 9-3, because 9-3, I think they'll be lucky to win 8 games, Andy. If they do, if they go 8-4, that's a good season, I think, for Oklahoma based on their schedule. Texas, meanwhile, with this game, it's important for them to, if they want to be a national contender, they've got to win this game, because they still are playing a Southeast Conference schedule. Here's another one, Andy. Southeast Conference, Big Ten. It's Alabama at Wisconsin. Now, Alabama is still an 8.5-point favorite, but is Alabama still Alabama? And Wisconsin, they're in this rebuild. Luke Fickell, you know, are they going to make strides? This is a game that Wisconsin could lose this game, be competitive, and I don't think it will affect anything. I don't think they may think they're a playoff contender. I don't necessarily think that they are. But boy, if they could beat Alabama, what that would do, that'd be a seismic shift for both programs.
Yeah, I'm a big Luke Fickell fan, right? Like, I think he's a coach. He's a really good football coach. It's year two at Wisconsin. I don't think he's there yet. They're the offseason darling this year, right? Like, Wisconsin appears to be, and a lot of that is centered on Luke Fickell. I just don't get it. Like, could someone explain it to me like I'm a fourth grader? That's the question I ask when it comes to Wisconsin. I just don't get it. I don't see it. I need to see it. It's, you know, 7-6. What tells you that Wisconsin is going to be anything more than, you know, an 8-4 team? What tells you that? And is Alabama has to answer, ask, they have to answer Alabama questions, which are completely different than Wisconsin questions. I think Alabama has so much to lose in this game in many fronts. They win by, like, you know, they kick a field goal with 39 seconds left and hold on to win. Is that good enough?
No.
I think so. Right. That's the that's what I tell you. I put that scenario out there because, okay, so Wisconsin, the same scenario, flip it, and Wisconsin loses a game that way. That's win for Wisconsin on so many fronts other than the measurable of a win on their ledger. So I think it's so much to lose and very little to gain for Alabama other than boat racing Wisconsin. And that is potential. I love Alabama's coach. Love him. Horse for the course, right guy to replace a legend. I think if they boat race him, then Alabama is still Alabama. That answers your question, Jimmy.
Yes, it does. Yes, it would be. It would change the narrative. But again, the other way, if Wisconsin, yeah. I don't see Wisconsin winning it, but just like the Clemson thing, very much changes the narrative. Hey, Andy, I'm going to lump three games together for you. And you could angle two out of the three any way you like. But let me start with both Colorado and Oklahoma have games against FCS teams. For Colorado, it's North Dakota State. For Oklahoma, it's South Dakota State. Now, for those of you not familiar with those programs, they're really good FCS teams. Really good.
Yep.
And both those teams are going on the road to Colorado and to Oklahoma. And ironically, both the home teams, Colorado and Oklahoma, are 8-point favorites. The fact that they're only single-digit favorites against those teams tells you something. But both those teams have so much at stake. Andy, you don't schedule good FCF schools. You just don't do that. It's not smart. And the third game I'm going to throw in there, add in Colorado, is at Nebraska. Interesting out-of-conference games for Colorado. Interesting hosting FCS schools, both Colorado and Oklahoma. Attack this any way you like.
Some people are like, well, can, you know, Coach Prime, you know, can Colorado be derailed by North Dakota State right away? My question is, can he get this train back on the tracks? That's my question. I'm sorry, but I mean, this was Colorado's 2023 was a lot more than just an injury or two. You know, the Buffs literally fell off a cliff. They have bad football infrastructure. I said that before the season. I'm not a Coach Prime hater. I like the way Deion coaches, but in that first year, it was bad football infrastructure and a lot of smoke and mirrors. And we knew that was going to be the case. And then guess what? That got exposed. So this game only matters because Deion Sanders is the coach of Colorado. That's it. The Buffs overall as a program, they're still a mediocre to poor football program. Matt Rhule is better at building from the ground up. That's why the Nebraska game will matter. The Colorado-Nebraska game will matter. Is Matt Rhule making the progress in the same way Matt Rhule's always been able to make progress as a build-from-the-bottom-up coach? That will be where the Colorado-Nebraska game, where the rubber meets the road in that game. I'll sneak in Oklahoma because I think you're right, Jimmy. My goodness gracious. This game is sneaky and dangerous for Oklahoma. It's so dangerous. They were just a little better in year two under Brent Venables last year than in year one. Year three, as I said earlier in the show, is where coaching and a program starts to sort of show its teeth and you make your jump. They have the star quarterback, right? But remember, Oklahoma has a killer schedule and they're replacing their entire offensive line. Just look at that schedule, JG, they have, and you go like, man, is this South Dakota game very important for them? Yes, it is.
All right, Andy, some great games. We didn't even get to Notre Dame at Texas A&M, Miami at Florida. There is just this whole slew of great games coming up. However, we're out of time. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app. StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, statecollege.com. Trust statecollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.